Blog Talk Radio.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens, while there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While this secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville, Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition, it's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y, academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag at 2020DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go through. You're not defined by your pain, so let it go. You're not a victim.
In order for history to be relevant to present reality, it is necessary for it to be applicable to current circumstances faced by real people. When it comes to the social, economic, and political crises confronting urban American youth and neighborhoods in 2022, every opportunity that we can find to teach people how to apply historical lessons to solve their problems is very important. Join me tonight, your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, as we talk from the topic, Frederick Douglass, father of the Negro vote in America. We'll apply that to, we commonly refer to our ethnicity, African American, some say black, but we'll have a robust discussion, I hope. Give us a call here at 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. We do have a focus topic, so we'll get through our monologue here. Give us a little background on Frederick Douglass. Perhaps you know him already. But certainly here we are in the 21st century, and I'm sad to say that if you walk the streets and you ask the average young person of a certain age, who was Frederick Douglass? What was his contribution? They couldn't tell you. But then there are some chronologically grown adults, likewise, who perhaps wouldn't be able to, doesn't make them a bad person. What it speaks to is the need for us to use moments like this in America, African American History Month, to be proactive and to ensure that lessons are taught and learned. We're coming into another political season where people will be voting. right? And yet, again, there are some significant things about that that are useful to know. So join me tonight as we talk again from the topic, Frederick Douglass, Father of the Negro Vote in America. It is February 8th, 2022. Can you believe that already? We're in the second month. Time moves on. All right. Again, that number to call us is 657-383-0944. Once we get through our monologue, we'll be happy to come right to you and bring you into the national dialogue and discussion tonight on this February 8th, 2022. All right. Let's get right into the monologue here. Galatians, the third chapter and the 28th verse says this. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3 and 28. Now, most people, understandably, when they think of civil rights, they see it from the lens of the activities that are most notable and transpiring in the 50s and the 60s. Those were very, very important activities. However, in reality, the push for civil rights began with the drive to make the Emancipation Proclamation a constitutional amendment, the 13th Amendment, right? Which happened in 1865. Formally, it outlawed slavery with certain conditions. And that's a lesson that we'll talk about tonight. What were the conditions? You no longer can force them into servitude except they commit a crime. That's something we need to, we'll talk about that. I'll come back to that. Now, following this act in 1868, the 14th Amendment, which guaranteed the rights of citizenship to former slaves in America, right? Gave them the right to protection against cruel and unusual punishment. Then you had in 1870, the 15th Amendment, which brought suffrage or voting rights to Negroes, as they were aptly called during that time. It allowed them to vote. Now, at that time, it was not extended to women, but certainly black men were able to participate in the electoral process in the United States of America, particularly in those southern states where slavery once prohibited them from being human. A central influence, though, in the push for all three of the latter, very, very important historical amendments to the U.S. Constitution, was the father of the Negro rights, brother by the name of Frederick Augustus Douglass, firstborn Frederick Augustus Washington Bailey, right? Later took on Douglass. He was born in February 1818 in Cordova, Maryland. This brother's influence is well described in a work by Arthur Philip Foerner in his body of work known as Five Volumes, The Life and Writings of Frederick Douglass. It describes all of Douglass's, from a biographical position, it talks about Frederick Douglass' works. But tonight, we'll examine the philosophy of Frederick Douglass. And we won't just talk about it from that time or the zeitgeist of that age in the 1800s, but I'd like for us to talk about it right now in 2022. How do we apply those principles in 2022 if we were to walk down an urban street and find a young brother with his pants hanging down and all the things we say he ought to do? How can we use this as a teaching tool for him? That's really what we want to do tonight as we examine the impact and the influence of Brother Douglass, right? Now, many of his writings can be found in a journal that he founded and edited, which was called the North Star. I just want to briefly highlight some of the principal ideas that Douglass spoke of. And again, if we were to apply this today, regardless to where you are, particularly in urban America, how would we make this make sense to young people who don't have a clue that this man even lived? Some of them really can't explain their own life. Okay? That's our challenge today. See, we can talk about history, but as I said earlier, if history is not relevant and it cannot be applicable to our reality, what we're going through, you understand? We can't see how it can transform our lives. Who want to hear a bunch of boring stuff that don't make no sense to me? You understand? One of the things that Douglass, if he were here today, and these words fell on the ears of young brothers and sisters, he said, right is of no sex, no male or female. The right don't know any gender. Truth is of no color. Don't make you tell the truth because you're white or black or Hispanic or Asian. Don't know no color. And then he goes on to say, God is the father of us all. And all we are brethren. You understand what I'm saying? This was one of the things that Douglass talked about in the North Star. Interestingly enough, that dovetails or correlates with Galatians 3 and 28. No big, no little. We all are one in the eyes of Christ. Douglass inculcated that principle, that idea. If young people understood that you don't have to compete with one another in the streets for dope and gang banging and things of that nature, because guess what? We all one family. And in reality, you don't have to be mad at no other ethnicity. Do you, and let other folk do them. Are you with me? All right. Here's another thing that Douglass, I wonder if he was here today and we had 1,000 young folk under the same roof. They heard these words, what it would do for them. Douglass says, quote, I prefer to be true to myself, even at the hazard of incurring the ridicule of others, rather than being false and to incur my own abhorrence. Wow. Now, so many people, and it's grown folk doing this now, believe it or not, they're so busy trying to please, mimic, and act like somebody else that they lose their sense of self. In 2022, we certainly need to teach our babies a sense of purpose, a sense of meaning and direction. You understand? This is something that Douglass taught. Since we are spending time to recognize African-American history, let's teach it. Let's teach it in churches. Let's teach it in streets and the playgrounds. Teach it in school if you want to. Teach it wherever you can find a young mind to soak up this powerful knowledge. You understand what I'm saying? Check out what he said. Douglass said, once you learn to read, you will be free, my God, forever. I wish I had a witness there. So once you learn to read, you'll be free forever. Listen, there are some people walking around and they don't even realize that they locked up in their minds. I'm talking about in 2022 now. Free your mind and your body will follow you. Powerful words that Brother Douglass spoke. Another one. Knowledge makes a man unfit. I better put a pin right there to be a slave. Say what, Doctor? Knowledge makes a man unfit to be a slave. You can't make a man who is aware. You can't subjugate him to your will. My goodness. And this is what, this kind of goes back to that 13th Amendment. You can no longer subjugate them against their will except they commit a crime. They be found, they be charged and tried and found guilty of a crime, then we can say, listen. What you need to understand is the nature of the trap that gets you there. And this knowledge will keep you from ever getting trapped in anybody's trick or slavery. or the mental slavery of self-destruction. Let that soak in for a second. Check out what Douglas said. People might not get all they want or work for in this world, but they must certainly work for all that they get. Say it again, Douglas. Say that again, Fred. People may not get all they work for in this world. May not come like you want it, but they must certainly work for all that they get. Nothing comes free. If it does, you better watch out. Look over your shoulder. Y'all heard of Indian givers? Douglas was right on the point. He said also, it is easier to build strong children than to repair a broken man. It's easier to build strong children, raise up the babies in the way that they should go, than it is to repair a broken man. I'd like for us to talk about that a little bit. I'd like for us to dig into that just a little bit. Why is it hard to try to put a man that's broken into pieces back together? Why is it harder? He didn't say that it was impossible, but he said it's easier to take a young man, a young child, build him up, than it is to take a man that's broken. Whew. Some of what he said, look at what he said. Some know the value of education by having it. But look at this, look at this. I knew its value by not having it. In fact, he goes on further to say that I didn't know I was a slave until I learned I couldn't do what I wanted to do for myself. My. Then I knew something was wrong. Something is up when I can't do for me. See, some people know how to value education because they smart. They got it. All of us wasn't that smart, huh? But he said, I agree with him. I knew the value of it when I realized I couldn't read, I couldn't write, I couldn't do for myself. Look at what Douglas says. He says, a man is worked upon by what he works on. He may carve out his circumstances, but his circumstances will carve him out as well. What we go through, our experience, is our reality. If it don't kill you, it'll make you stronger. What we ought to look for is the opportunities to take all of the things that we don't like, we're disheartened by, disappointed by, and ask ourselves, how can I learn from that? Very, very simply. If we know that on the streets there are people who we feel are our enemies, that don't have our best interests at heart, then don't go to those people, avoid those folk. You understand what I'm saying? Change your course of direction and behavior such that you don't have to be there. You see what I mean? Our life is our experience. It's kind of consistent with what Paul talked about in Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is the substance, the stuff, the mess you done been through. And it's the evidence of how far you can go now. You done been through it once. We done got over it once. And we know we're capable of doing it again. Somebody say doing it again. Listen, right quickly as we prepare to open up the phone lines, I want to go and call on my friends down from Canton, Mississippi. They said something that makes sense to me. Now, maybe some people are rich and they got it going on and they never had to struggle. But I like the way these brothers put it when they said these words right here. And 657-383-0944, that's the number to call. You listen to the Talk Straight. We're talking from the topic. Frederick Douglass, father of the Negro vote in America. Give us a call here, 657-383-0944. Right quickly, the Ken Spirit. Listen to what he said. Listen to what he said right quickly. Oh, I know you. Watch him right quick. Come on, Harvey. That's me, y'all. That's me. Yeah. One last time. But you know what? That boy singing my song. Did you know he's singing my song, Virginia? Yeah. He talking about me. And we're joined. Welcome to Talk Straight tonight. We're joined also by Selma, Alabama. Welcome, guys. I hope we could have a instructive conversation tonight. I know this brother out of Selma, he talks a lot about this, and this is near and dear to his heart. Brother Don Bevelel and my sister out of Virginia, Richmond, Virginia. That's where all the sweet ladies are. You understand what I'm saying? I believe they robbed heaven and sent all angels to Richmond, Virginia. How about that, man? All right. So much for that. But, yeah, we're talking about Douglas. Any comment thus far from anybody?
Yes, Mr. Dockery. I think, didn't you see the day on the news where the Supreme Court pushed away the gerrymandering case in Alabama? And I'm going to say to you, yes, the plaque for Benjamin Turner House is not up down here. The plaque mm-hmm. where we started the Republican Party in Cahaba in 1866 mm-hmm. ain't up down here. So okay. We are not educated to that era of time. We so caught up in the European culture that we don't know our own. And Mr. Dockery, mm-hmm. and it's strange you brought that up about slavery. I ran across a piece on the YouTube. It's a geological history of Jews and Muslims in British colonial America, and it has to deal with Spanish Moorish colonists' genealogical history. The first slaves was in 1526, not 1619, and the key word was Huguenot.
Yes.
And I was listening to that, how we got so captured by the Europeans and their culture.
Okay.
And it's real deep, Mr. Dockery, because we're so caught up in their system. You know what I'm saying? And I'm also studying Caligula. And the reason I'm doing that, because our brothers are caught up in the European style of government.
That's
and
it.
Go to these Jesuit schools.
Okay.
And we don't know our own history. You know what I'm saying? And our schools are not institutionalized that teach us that history.
All right. I don't want to go too far off into that, Don, because that is a elaborated topic that you're talking about. And if you don't mind, I'd like to keep it in the context of, we know that Frederick Douglass lived, and we know that this is an integral part now of the U.S. Constitution. The 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. I did read an article about Supreme Court of Alabama overturning a lower court's order to try to stop the redistricting. I did read that. Now, but it's happening here in Tennessee too. It's happening here in Nashville, Tennessee.
That's true. In Memphis,
yes. And the point here, though, is despite that, what is it that our young folk can do with this information, Don, to transform their lives? Because nothing is stopping them from being organized, being educated about the issues, right? Economic issues, social issues, health-related issues, education, right? There's nothing stopping them from doing that, right?
Mr. Dockery, you know whose son I am. I'm 62.
Yes, sir.
Stephen is the next in line after me, my oldest son. He's never been around me. I don't know why. I called him. But that generation, Mr. Dockery, matter of fact, Friday, his generation I ran into out repoing a car. And one young man was supposed to be a part of the Nation of Islam, but he was smoking crack. So this generation that's coming behind us, I don't know how you're going to and then guess, check this out. When we called him smoking crack, the guy that was repoing the car with me, he's younger than me. Listen to that. Listen to this. You talking about reaching him. Guess what he is? A Crip. So in Selma, most of the young men that are in the Nation of Islam down here, the reason it ain't growing, because the young men that's in the Nation of Islam, fruit of the Nation of Islam, you gangbanging.
I
so,
see.
You know what I'm saying? So when you said the generation behind me, you need to talk to them and ask them why they off gangbanging. And, and where did they get the idea and why are they watching it on TV? And, you know, because Mr. LaRouche, he's a Frenchman. He said all gangs are the criminal activity of the Catholic Church. So you need to talk to them young guys about that. I don't know why they go that direction. I can't I can't tell you about
it. All right. Hold that point. Let me bring my sister in. Douglas said, Virginia, that it's easier to take a young mind, right, and shape it, build it up, and prepare it for success than it is to double back and catch a man that is broken. You understand what I'm saying? What do you think about that?
Ooh, I think that is... that is powerful. That is powerful. Think about the question people involved. You know, it's not unfortunate because social media and the internet has unfortunate people that do not have access to information that wouldn't be able to afford.
Hey, Rich, your phone, your voice is breaking up a little bit. Can you are you
can
able
you
to speak into
now?
Your phone a little, I think a little bit better now. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
yes, ma'am.
Can
go
you
ahead.
Hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you better now. Thank you. I'm sorry.
So the internet has been a great equalizer in many ways, but it has also been a great divider. But it's here to stay. Social media is here to stay.
Okay.
And I think I'll give you a perfect example. There was somebody that had some, I'll say, a political opinion about something. And this young person who knew enough about coding was able to put this app out, drive people to the app, which in turn flooded his office with all these prank calls.
Wow.
They were able to create this bot to do this work, right? So they're calling it the new high-tech advocacy, high-tech, you know, hacking. Well, they're not hacking, but high-tech advocacy. So we are living in now this digital divide, and I think for us older people, where we're not privy. There has to be a way to incorporate it into the mode of communication today.
And a lot
of us are not. I'm taking a course. It's a free course offered by Harvard University on computer science and programming because I'm interested in this. And so what was interesting in the class was that the professor was asking questions, and some of the questions had to do with this game called Scratch. Scratch is a block code programming language that's been out since 2007 for kids.
Interesting.
And so the kids were able, the kids were bringing up stuff that they learned in Scratch. I'm like, I ain't never even heard of Scratch. What is Scratch? You know, and this is built by MIT. And I'm thinking like, Scratch. So these little nerdy kids had been exposed at very young age to programming, third and fourth grade. And one of the things when I was researching about programming, the dean over computer science at Howard University was saying that unfortunately a lot of people that decide to major in computer science, when they get to school to work on their undergraduate degree, introduce a lot of concepts. So they go to these internships and they're sitting next to kids that's been coding since they were 10.
Okay.
And so there's a great digital divide, and I think all of our history and what we want our young people to remember, the gap is we are in that digital divide.
I see.
Where we can't deliver it in the format that's popular today.
Okay.
So I think when we're saying what do we need to do, we've got to incorporate young people with these skills.
Yes.
Give them the knowledge and then trust that they understand the format that's going to be the most inviting or engaging for the next generation.
Can I stop you right there? I got Pastor Wallach,
sure,
co-host on with us now. You're
okay.
Saying something powerful. Now watch this. Just imagine the imagination, done, the skill, the creativity, and the drive these young folk who are apt and prone to gang bang and do other things that we say are bad things. Just imagine if they are swept up off the streets, not taken to jail or the juvenile detention, but they're taken down to a facility, a church that's otherwise sitting blank and empty, and there was somebody there that can teach them what this sister's saying, huh? That can take their young mind and plug it in to something positive, proactive, and productive. By the time they get to be a certain age, they've developed what? This powerful skill. That's what Brother Douglas was talking about when he said, when you learn to read, you will be free forever. You understand what I'm saying? What about that, Pastor Wallace? What about that? If we could, listen, if we could prepare ourselves to take them off the street and bring them somewhere and do something good with them. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, you said to take them off the street. Pastor, did you say something about taking somebody off the street?
Yes, sir. Babies. Taking these babies that are wayward off the streets. Because we know ain't nothing good for them out in the streets but trouble, right? There's nothing but trouble out there in the streets.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's big trouble. It's a whole lot of that. It's a whole lot of trouble that's out there. But you know what, Pastor? It's because they playing them games and everything, too. But still, and the game is being played, but yet still, there's some outside activities going on also.
Okay. Okay.
From outside, when I say outside activities,
mm-hmm.
I mean it's beyond just what's on the internet and everything, and that's a great concern that I have, you know.
Okay. Okay.
And
okay.
I was just thinking about that, you know, and I was just meditating on the thought of what's going on the outside more so than I don't do with the internet. She's saying something about learning about what they do and how much knowledge they have off of certain things. I understand that. But, man, and I stay in my lane. So
okay.
Fair
enough.
I can't do a whole lot. But one of the things I can do, I'll just do that, man, and don't try to complicate it. You know?
Right.
Yeah. Because I can easily complicate it. And when I hear something like that, I ain't going to try to learn all this stuff that they learn. Because, you know, I'm sure that's a whole lot they're learning now. But I don't want to get into all that what they're learning. Just give me just a little bit and I'll let it go along.
You know what, Pastor? There are a lot of older people who, for some reason or other, think they have to compete, Virginia, with the young. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that.
Mm-mm.
You know, step aside and let them have the floor. You be there to coach them, you know what I mean? To guide them, but let them shine. Ain't nothing wrong with that, Pastor. We done forgot everything they're trying to figure out. We done forgot half of it. You know?
Yes, sir. That's right.
It got to an age now, man. Doggone.
That's correct.
Right, right.
That
right.
is so correct, brother. For real.
So,
yes, sir.
So the focus here is providing the environment, the platform, and the resources that will facilitate that type of learning for them. That's what our focus is. We got my sister out of Peoria, Illinois. I'm about to shout. Y'all hold my mule while I shout right here. How you doing, Peoria?
Oh, I love you so much. How's everyone doing? Good to hear you guys' voice.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Good to hear it from you as well. We got Don on from Selma. We got my sister from Richmond, Virginia. And, of course, the guy you love more than me, Pastor Ricky Waller, our co-host here. That's okay. I get it.
How you doing, Pastor Waller and everyone?
I'm all right there. I'm all right. How you doing there, Miss Charlene? How you doing? Good
I'm
to hear fine. From you.
You guys, too. I'm doing pretty good. Hanging in there, keeping my head up through the storm.
Great.
That's a good thing. That's a really good thing.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that.
Right now.
So, 12, what we've been talking about is Frederick Douglass. Now, I'm sure you've heard of him over the years. And I've been digging deep into some of the teachings of Douglass because I was saying to the rest of the audience here, the panel, that I believe respectfully that I'm not going to just say other people. I'm in there too. We're missing a vital opportunity during this month that is set aside for Black History Month. If young folk knew that they were not slaves, they don't have to be a slave, and there was a way to avoid the trap of becoming a slave through criminal being classified and convicted of criminal, we could probably take a bunch of energy. Y'all seen that commercial about the bunny rabbits where they talk about Duracell batteries, got a bunch of children in it. Don, if we could channel that energy, man, I hear what you're saying about organizations that are supposed to be the answer, right? Provide something different. It is sad. It's unfortunate that it has apparently been infiltrated. But you know how that happens, right, Don? You know how that happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
When the elders of the community, of a neighborhood or organization, a group, fall short on their duties to, the Bible said, train up a child in the way. Let me put a pin right there, 12. Let me put a pin right there. Ain't no just do whatever and experiment and try this. There's a way we should raise our young people. Now, if we got to grab them and squeeze the devil out of them and then tell them I love you, okay. But we got to train them up in the right way. Somebody help me. I want to go to heaven. Am I wrong about that, 12? Where am I going wrong on that, 12?
I don't think you went anywhere wrong on that because if you don't teach a child, how would they know?
Uh-oh.
They won't know. I mean, it's not just survival for yourself. It takes a lot of different things to upbring a child because each and everybody is different.
Okay.
And each and every child that you have in your home is different. No two are the same. So it takes a lot of work for parents, but if you love them enough, you're willing to go that whole time.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. You know, you reminded me of something. Some years ago, I was doing that lecture series 12, and I was in, I was in Columbus, Mississippi, as a matter of fact. And I asked a group of parents that were there, I said, why do you all go through the trouble of carrying your children for 9 months? Why do you wipe their snotty nose, take your hands and put it in their dirty diapers? Why do you do that? You know what the answer was universally? Because we love them.
Right.
Because we love them. Huh?
Yeah.
I said, well, now, do you get paid for it? Oh, my goodness. The room went in laughter. Oh, no. If I got paid, I'd be rich. What about that, Virginia? Would you be a rich lady?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when you were talking about training the children, I remember when, I don't remember if anybody remembers this, they were called Selectivisions. And the cartridge that you would use to put in for it to play looked like a big album cover that was real thin. And then we dropped down and we went to the video cassettes. Then we went from video cassette to floppy disk. And then floppy disk to disk and all this kind of stuff. Well, I think what's happening right now is we're communicating to young people on floppy disk. And we're now in a thing where everything is digitized and it's digital. And so we give them this good information, and then when they put it in their filter of how they filter information and process information today, they can't understand it. So I think in training children today in a world that is becoming very digital, that we have to, and I'll go back to, we have to find innovative ways to talk about Frederick Douglass.
Interesting.
Unfortunately, we have gotten to the point, and I'll end with this, everything, they're calling it now edutainment instead of education.
Education,
They're calling edutainment because everybody wants the lights, bells, whistles, just the whole nine yards, right? The attention span has dropped tremendously because of digitization and the internet and all that kind of stuff. So these are, you know, I thought about, you know, we've got these church buildings that are doing nothing, but what if we were offering how to code in church, right?
I love it.
In church, right? And so, but you got to have people that know how to code.
See, that's the problem. See, that go to problem right
that's
there.
That's the best part of, so it's cool to be able to code, to be able to make graphics on the screen and move things around. And you can go in and play with HTML, which is just web pages, and you can switch up somebody's web page. It won't stick, but you can go in there and switch up their web page and make it be what you want to be. It won't stay, but you can get in on the back page and do that on anybody's browser that's on the internet, that a lot of browsers you can do that with. But I'm just saying, if we had coding in church, if we had ethical hacking in church, if we had how to create a bot that calls people and bug them, I mean, you know, stuff like that, I just think we're using language that's just archaic for the people that we're trying to reach. That's all. I think we got good stuff. We just have to close that digital divide and put it in formats that the kids will like.
I'll say this in response to what you're saying, and y'all let me know if you would agree with this. Society, and I'm gonna say the streets, Don, has its own language. It has its own subcultural, right? And it has its own law, if you will, rules and guidelines. And the babies know more the rules and regulations of the street quite often. And I'm literally talking about babies now, than they know these formal things that we're talking about. So it's difficult to take history that's 100-some-plus years old, principle ideas that Douglass taught, right? Here's the thing. Now that you have the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th Amendment, you can vote. People don't want to. In fact, many people don't see it as being relevant or necessary, right? Now that you have education, too many people don't value it. They don't see the need for it. You understand? I'm just doing me, man. I'm getting it the way I live, as the rapper said. You know what I mean? So we are in a position. I agree with you, my sister, that we are certainly in a position where we have to be aware of what we're saying and how we're saying that, more importantly, how it's falling on the young folk ears. Some people don't care. Some people don't care. And that's okay if they don't care. But for those who do, you got to understand that just because what you're saying may be right don't mean they want to hear it or they are receiving it. Now, you ever done that 8112 where you're talking to your children, you know it's right for them, man. They just seem like they're having the hardest time hearing you, though.
Yeah.
Make it help your
but,
feet.
But they also, I will say this, some of them may have grumbled and mumbled just to hear because they wasn't allowed too much, and that was from
yeah.
my own upbringing.
Okay.
And
okay.
the difference is now a lot of times people stick the phones in the kids' hand, the computers, the laptops, and everything.
That's right.
And pretty much outside of when they get upset with them in a lot of households, that's what's raising them. You say, oh, don't watch this, but you didn't put parental blockness on it. You didn't block
that's
it.
That's right.
And so they're sitting there. You may think they're doing schoolwork. I've even called yeah. my grandkids. What are you doing? What you looking at?
What is that?
They're playing a game of watching cartoons or whatever you call that TikTok stuff.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, all you can do is the best you can do.
Okay.
And if you're doing anything these days, it's a good thing, especially grandparents, because these days a lot of the weight of certain young parents falls on the grandparents.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I get
Whereas
that too. Close
to back in our days, it was on our parents or our parents,
right.
and they made
right.
sure that we were okay.
Right, 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 right. Okay.
Hey, Mr. Dockery.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Don. I think she
12
was
got
Go
my
ahead.
Heart tonight. 12 hit me hard tonight. Yeah, she done hit me, Doc.
I did
hit
well, son.
See, you have
hit
his
me in my heart, babe.
You stole
well,
his heart tonight.
Mr. Dockery, she says something that's so clear to me. Each child is different, and they have
right.
different characteristics. And reason 12 you hit me was because my dad was running for Congress in Chicago, and he had a friend named Tommy Lee Walker. She's from Birmingham. Parker High School is
mm-hmm.
named after her grandfather. She
mm-hmm.
died and got killed in Chicago. A gang member killed her, and it was about crack. But she said what you said. Each child, she said, Don, I got children in my house.
Mm-hmm.
She said, one of my sons is a killer.
Mm.
One is a homosexual. One. Mm. She said, each one of them got their own characteristic. And that's
mm-hmm.
so true. Yeah, I mean, you hear, I'm going to tell you, like I would tell you, Ms. Doctor, you, young girl at the library, 20 years old, I done
mm-hmm.
went down to discover Cahaba and found out our forefather started the Republican Party. Here's a 20-year-old. In the
mm-hmm.
library, her grandfather take her down there. She stopped me and said, ain't they supposed to build that courthouse back down there? I like, man,
hmm.
you know that?
Mm.
It mm. shocked me. You 20 years old, you know it. And we got grown women running around here, 50, 60, PhDs. They ain't got sense to see that.
Mm.
She 20.
Okay. Okay.
So I agree with her. Each child got their own characteristics and what they see, and you know what I'm saying. It just it amazes me. And you know, you got some children, like you said, they just want to do what they do: game, bang, play music.
Well,
and then I don't bother them, Mr. Doctor, because I remember what I did. It.
Well, there
you know
go,
what I'm saying?
Because, look, what they're likely to gravitate to is what's most appealing in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think somebody said it. You put a phone, a cell phone, or
mm-hmm.
One of these other gadgets, that's what they're
mm-hmm.
going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't give them that, guess what you could, guess what else they can do? Suppose you spent, when they were 2 years old, they were 1 year old, you spent 5 minutes a day
mm-hmm.
reading a book to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're developing? You're developing language-rich skills. And
right.
you're teaching them to be disciplined enough to sit still, to listen, and receive information. But guess what the key part is? You are there with them. You don't just stick it in their hand and leave
exactly.
them in the corner. I wish I didn't come to preach, but I'm feeling my help right now, Pastor Wallace.
You're right.
You're there with them. And that's
yeah.
what we're missing. That's what we're missing. A lot of times we're so preoccupied with mess on our agenda that we ain't got time for our babies. I wish, man, look here. And then when they grow up, they get big enough to wear what's in their diaper. They grown now. When they were a little bitty baby, that poop was one thing. Come on, somebody. We talking straight tonight. Now, you
yep.
great grown. That's a different smell right there. Are y'all with me?
That's
so,
it. That's
who
it.
Don't get it up?
But they still plague on your heart because they still yours.
We do it because we love. Yes, yep. Sir. Yes,
Is you are you familiar with what's his name? Umar Johnson. You familiar with his brother, right?
I am familiar with his body. Yes,
Sir. He's kin to Frederick Douglass.
All right.
So that means he kin to Frederick Douglass IV, and Kevin's up there where you at. But what I was going to say, Mr. Dark, he made a point, and I done experienced it. The superintendent in Dallas County, where the Right to Vote movement was, is a woman. Okay. Over at where Justin going to school, the principal is Miss West's granddaughter. That's where my dad and Dr. King stayed with her behind Brown Child. Her granddaughter is the principal. Justin came home with a blue thing around his neck, and I'm looking at it. Man, you Moorish American, you supposed to have a fez, but you got a game thing around you. So what I'm looking at, Mr. Darby, you just said it, and Umar brought this up, and I want the sisters to hear what he really said. When you're mad at brothers, you can't teach no boys.
Okay.
You can't be angry at an African-American male. When you're angry at an African-American male, you can't teach that young man. And I agree with him. And then you don't love him.
Okay.
See, and he knows that now.
Yeah.
And my son, hey, Mr. Dockery, I'm working with the fatherhood program down here in Selma. They do have one. And I go over and counsel with a lady. And it's just sad how Charlene treats Poe Justin. She's mad at me, but you're taking it out on the child. I experienced that with my mother.
I get you. Well, we don't want to beat up on Charlene on the show tonight. I get what you're saying.
I ain't beating up on her, but my Poe son, man, I went through
I feel sorry
for him.
And I'm praying that they get better, Don. I'm praying they get better before it gets any worse. But
because these young boys out here, guess what? Listen, Mr. Doctor, I have been down in the area where they sold crack. I seen young boys look at their daddy and cry out for attention. It wasn't money. And then he go get killed on drugs. Or else he go out and shoot them and get locked up. But they want attention.
Yeah.
Attention from the father to do what? To build, to talk to me, get serious with me as a man growing up. But the father, I don't know, Mr. Darby. Just, like I said, it's deep.
Well, we got work, and that's why we're talking about. And by the way, I want to recognize St. Louis. Give me 1 second, St. Louis, to come to you. That's why we're talking about Brother Douglass. We talked about Carter G. Woodson last week. We're talking about the contribution, the impact, influence of Brother Douglass. And next week we're going to talk about William Edward Burghardt Du Bois. I was sharing with my sister earlier from Virginia how he, you know, when you read his book, Souls of Black Folk, I won't get into it now, but he was disheartened by the fact that as much as he tried to teach our people, they weren't learning none. They didn't want to learn none. You know, he probably took the position of the more I try to teach you, the dumber I get. I mean, good God Almighty. But it's hope. There's hope. That's hope. That's why we, and I want to take advantage of this cycle of the year, Black History Month. I know everybody don't necessarily agree with the way it came about, but I want to take advantage of this opportunity to provide some relevant information, some things that we can translate. Hey, let's go to the church. Let's go to the streets with it. You know what I mean? Whatever the case is. Let me recognize St. Louis. Welcome, St. Louis. As you heard our topic tonight, Frederick Douglass, father of the Negro vote in America. We've grown now to 2022, and I've asked everybody else, how can you think of a way that we can impart these ideas, this wisdom, on young folk in particular? Questions, comments?
What wisdom are you talking about?
Well, I listed several things. For instance, here's one of the things that I talked about, several things that Frederick Douglass put out. In his book called The North Star, he edited it, and he was the editor and founder of that. And he had we talked about Henry Forner's book, the five volumes of writings of Frederick Douglass. So one of them, here's one of them. Again, I'll just reiterate it. Right is of no sex, he says. Truth is of no color. God is the father of us all, and all we are brethren. That's an example of one of them.
Well, I'll tell you one thing is that, and the way people do Black History Day is start writing and telling people about people in the neighborhood and want that to be taught in school. Well, you don't have time to do that in no public schools, teaching about somebody in your neighborhood across the street.
Oh, boy. Lil Jimmy. You don't want to talk about Lil Jimmy?
No. But here's the thing. There's a lot of Black people, a lot of Americans that was Black that done a lot of things in this country.
Okay.
Even before Frederick Douglass.
Okay.
And
okay.
That's the whole thing about this critical race theory, that you only tell one side of it, and you got Black voices that want to tell one side of it for whatever reason.
Okay.
Like I was telling you last week about Rosa Parks. No, I was, well, you know, we was talking today on another show about Rosa Parks' house in Detroit was up for condemnation because of $500 in back taxes. And her daughter couldn't raise the money.
Hmm.
Well, Detroit had about 600,000 Black people in that city. And they always talking about Rosa Parks and about what white. Well, why didn't y'all raise out of 600,000 Blacks $500 to save the house?
I see what you're saying.
You know who
okay.
did it? It was a white male German who paid the back taxes. He disassembled the house, put it in a container, shipped it back to his country, put it back together, remodeled it, and is touring Europe. Last time I heard, it was in Italy.
Wow. That's something, man. That's something. Well,
so why come Blacks did not save the house? Why come Blacks on Sandra Bland's bail was $500? All those that's complaining about what police done, why didn't they put together $500 and bail her out?
Okay. Well, now, can I respond to some of the questions that you posed? Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. You talked about all of those many people. Detroit went broke for a while, right? And that was a perfect opportunity for all the billionaires, or millionaires, I should say, in Detroit to put their money together to buy, and millionaires around the country, Black folk, and buy Detroit up. But it never happened. Interestingly enough, Mitt Romney and his group came in with some other investors, and they bought all the properties up, they bought everything up, and now they essentially own the rights to Detroit. Your point is well taken, that there are many missed opportunities collectively. I would argue, though, that the problem is we don't know enough about our current situation to get past the supercilious fights and arguments and disagreements that keep us pitted from working together. That's a big problem, St. Louis.
Well, Barack Obama and Bill Clinton said they wanted to see Syria refugees develop Detroit.
Bill Clinton wanted to see
Syrian refugees. This was just here within a few. Well, Obama, you know, he ain't been that long. They want to see Syrian refugees develop Detroit. They didn't say Black people. Hillary Clinton said
what,
too.
Yeah.
What so what's up
what
with that?
Well, I can't
say so it.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. What really matters is what you say for yourself, you know? And that's one of the things that Frederick Douglass said. Another one is quotes, if I can interject that right quickly. He says, I prefer to be true to myself, even at the hazard of incurring the ridicule of others, rather than to be false and to incur my own abhorrence. A lot of times, St. Louis, many good people are afraid to stand up on the principles that they believe in because they're afraid somebody else ain't going to like it.
Well, you had Harriet Tubman. She lived during the time of Frederick Douglass. Yes, matter of fact, Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass told John Brown he crazy as heck, and they weren't going with him.
I know that's right. I know that.
But here's
right.
the thing with Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman was a slave in Maryland.
Okay.
And, you know, there's such things as free slaves. Slaves did get paid. People say that stuff, they worked, didn't get, that's not true. They did get paid. But Harriet Tubman, when she found out that she was being ready to sell, she left Maryland and went to Auburn, New York. Mm-hmm. Her husband in Maryland got killed in the fight, got shot in the head. She married another man by the name of Nelson Davis, who was 20 years her junior. She was robbing the crater, as we like to say.
All right.
She went to Auburn, New York, and bought up a lot of farmland. Mm-hmm. She raised produce. She also had an orchard. She bought a boarding house that was a multi-purpose. Now, it did burn down, but she turned around and built a new one using modern materials. She also had a brick manufacturing process. Okay. And she received a pension from the Union Army because she worked for them as a scout. And her husband, Nelson, served in the Union Army, and he received a pension, which she took over after he died. Harriet Tubman was richer than probably 80% of whites in the country.
All right. Bring that back to Frederick Douglass for me, though. I appreciate that information. But what we want our focus
What Frederick Douglass is saying does not apply to everybody, as we give you an example with Harriet Tubman. Now, it does have some substance when you can apply it to people, individuals particular. But it does not include, in general, everybody. And that's where the problem comes in, because people like to throw the word we and us being Pacific. Who are you talking about?
You talking about me. I'm one of those that throw we and us.
Mr. Dockery.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Boy, y'all hitting on some good stuff tonight. Because let's guess what? My brother the other night whooped me real good.
Okay,
and y'all just mentioned it.
What's that?
He was preaching so hard. He said, in the Bible, he said, let us make man. But in the Quran, Allah said, we made man. Come on, with me now.
Don, we
I'm listening to you now.
We're not going to execute no theology now. Come on, Don. Go ahead.
I'm just listening. Y'all are in the spirit now. I'm listening.
All right. Well, here's the thing, though. And St. Louis, I partially agree with what you're saying to this extent, that this only applies to people who want it to make it apply. Now, that's part of the problem. You could go out there as a person who's concerned about everybody, and you can go out there and place yourself on the altar of sacrifice, and some folk will wait until you drop fall. They'll step right over you, and they probably go in your wallet when you stop breathing. You understand what I'm saying? And keep on going.
You're referring to because of people that don't seem like they want to do anything. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying that knowledge makes it difficult. That's one of the things that he said. Douglass said, he said, knowledge makes it difficult for a man to be a slave. He won't be fit to be a slave if he knows, if he's conscious, if he's aware. And that's what I'm saying.
What kind of knowledge he talking about?
But then, listen to this, Mr. Douglass. Just inject you something. Those that don't want knowledge, all they want is materialistic things.
All right.
They don't care about the educated community. They just care about getting them some materialistic things.
See, knowledge is information, St. Louis. Whatever information you need to empower yourself, to liberate yourself, to sustain yourself, to guide yourself, then go get it. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get with, and with all thy getting, get a understanding. Go ahead.
Yeah, like you said, well, some people don't want to, and you can't, you can't force them. Yeah, where's the old cliche say you can take a heart to the water, but you can't make them drink?
But do we stop putting the pun out, though, St. Louis, because some horses act like they ain't thirsty, but they walking crazy, though. They walking sideways.
Depends on what it is. If it's a coat you work with, if it's an old horse, you got to let them go on out there to pasture.
What about, let me bring my friend in here on that. Pastor Wilder, what about that, Dan? Do we just dry up the well and they don't come to the water fast enough? Or do we leave it there for whosoever will? What about that, Pastor Wilder?
That's the same way. It's the day that wait.
Uh-oh.
On the Lord, shall we leave that strength? They just may need to gain their strength while they're waiting. You know, and then, you know, long as it's there for the taking.
Okay.
Do it when they get a chance. I mean, it doesn't matter how fast you get there. You know, there is a song that says it don't matter how you get there, just get there if you can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Okay.
And I just look at it as, you know, some get there sooner than others.
Right. Let me throw a snowball at Virginia. Virginia, you know I love you like peanut butter loves jelly, right? So here's where I think the rubber meets the road. A lot of times when we – St. Louis asked a real good question, what is knowledge? A lot of times when we couch the conversation about learning, we tend to do it from a lens of a certain ethnic perspective. But in reality, shouldn't your eyes be wide open for learning everything that will allow you to navigate the world? Should we restrict ourselves from that lens of just one perspective, Richmond?
No, I think that, you know, that scripture that talks about without a vision, people perish. Mm. One of the things that Europeans have been very successful at doing is that they respect the knowledge, but then they build upon the knowledge. You know, in our culture, we want to keep things, well, it's the way we used to do it back in the day, and it worked for me, and all that kind of stuff. Well, knowledge that what you do is you build upon existing knowledge. Mm. You know, we created the Phoenician alphabet, but then somebody said, well, you know, maybe we can put this together and put it on paper, and we can build a press that can super print.
You
now
come
I have
on
a here. System by which to educate people on a larger scale. Well, what they didn't invent the alphabet, we did, but they took the knowledge and they built on it. And so I think that's one of the challenges in our community. And I don't know if it's fear or if it's just a part of our culture, but I'll give you a perfect example. You know how we used to use flashcards, right? And flashcards are still good.
Right. Yeah,
but they
sure
have a system now. They have a system called Anki. It's a free app. And what it does is you make your own flashcards, but it intermittently keeps up with what you know and what you don't know and will periodically introduce the information in a timely fashion for you to get it. It's much more effective than using just flashcards. Right. So there are ways that people – it's the flashcard system, but what they did is they took that knowledge and built on it.
Mm.
And so I think that's one of the challenges in our community. What worked 25 years ago, okay, it might have worked, but there are better ways today. There are faster ways today. And being open to that knowledge and it not being – it's not saying that what we did was bad or wrong or anything, but if there is better information and better knowledge, then we need to jump on it and go for it.
I think that's a challenge
in the community, and I think maybe the challenge is and I'll end with this, is not because we don't want to know, but perhaps we don't have access to the information, and so it's better to not venture off into things because I don't know how to do it, opposed to say, you know what, I don't know anything about this, but I'm open to learn. So just like the older people in the community say, well, you know, I don't want to learn. I mean, that's what our young people say. Why do I need to know that? This been working for me doing it this way. So it's an attitude that that our children are a deep reflection of us. So that's sometimes a hard pill to swallow, but our children are a very deep reflection of us on many, many ways. So I'll just end with that.
Wow. Don, go ahead, brother. I was going to talk to you.
I'm going to throw this at the whole community tonight that's listening. Intel in Virginia, you know, that's where all the intelligence gathering is up there in Virginia. They told me that the FBI agents are down here to corrupt. And guess what I've seen? Sister just said it. You won't institutionalize the economic department name after Pettiford at Selman University. You know why? You too busy chasing good old boys.
What?
You and the FBI. Yeah, call her, Doc. She over there with the good old boys all by herself.
Okay.
See,
all right.
So what you talking about, and listen, Mr. Dockery, it kind of hurts your feeling, but it's just, I'm going to bring it home to you, Doc. Guess where I'm from? Dallas County, out of slavery. the King Plantation, between Auburn and Boca Chitty. And guess what? The sheriff down here, guess what? He ain't from this county. The state senator, Hank Sanders, he's not from here.
Okay.
See, I'm at home and I'm looking at him.
I see.
You don't want to institutionalize nothing because you too busy chasing the dollar.
All right. Now, so let me tie this back around. Let me loop this back around to now we're in a position to where you actually have citizen rights as a citizen in the United States. Okay? Not only do you have rights as a citizen, but you have the ability to voice your will as to who govern you. When the framers talked about certain truths that were self-evident, they went on further to say that governments were established among men and that the government derives its just powers from the consent of those who are governed. Now, what happens is when people who have the power to consent to be governed are not aware of the power that they have, you can pull the wool over their eyes, make a fool out of them, and do whatever you want to. You can get away with murder, literally. You understand what I'm saying? What am I saying? I'm saying what Brother Douglas said, and that is how powerful it is to have knowledge so that you don't be a slave to anything, right? Here's what else he said, 8112. He said, people may not get all they work for done in this world. And I'm going to just paraphrase and say in this life. But I love the way the brother ended. He said, but they must certainly work for all that they get. Now, ain't nothing going to come to you free as 8112.
Mm-hmm.
If it does, you better say, hey, whoa, what's up, man? What's up? What about that, 12?
Yeah, I'm just listening. As far as I know, most things don't come free. There's a price to pay one way or the other.
Wow. Must I bear this cross alone and all the world go free? There is a cross for everyone. There's a cross for you and me. Okay, all right. Stop, 12. Stop. Now, when I worked in the prison, there was an unwritten rule that if you come in, don't ever go to nobody trying to be friendly or offer them nothing because you get hit dead in the mouth.
Mm.
What that means is you're trying to make me your punk. And I gotta draw the line early. You understand what I'm saying? That's the unwritten rule in there. And I'm saying that to say that whenever a person, young or old, is of the position or the bent that I'm going to wait until somebody else tell me how to move forward, you set yourself up for always being subject to their will. And when they're gone, you know, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
In trouble. That's why we can't pacify young folk beyond childhood age. They got to grow up at some time.
That's right.
They got to learn, to make some sacrifice.
Yeah.
To get out there and try it. Is that, and I'm wrong with that, is it, Pastor Wong? You know, you come on now. You got to bust a little sweat. Let me see you bust. Get musty under the arms every now and then. Is that right, Pastor Wong?
Nothing wrong with you. Called identify yourself. You know, you got to identify yourself. And, you know, it's a lot going on, but the trap does not, you know, it does not compromise or anything. It's just, you know, sometimes they see others doing things, and some of them, you know, being that they don't know, they'll try it, and then snatched up by the trap. That's what the trap's supposed to do.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to wake you up and let you know that, you know, you're doing this to entrap you. You know, there's a law. It's called entrapment. Entrapment means that we're doing this intentionally. You know, you can be innocent, and since you're innocent, we just want to entrap you and make you think that you're wrong because we entrap you. You see?
I see.
And it's tough, man. It's not easy to be able to grow up as a kid, you know, playing in the yard, being innocent as they really are. You know, 8112, you know, if a person is grown right now, according to of age, you know, all you got to do is remember that once upon a time I was a child. Even the word does say that. When I was a child, you know, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But I couldn't put it away, you know, before it's time. I had to still be a child when I was a child. So a child, you know, be misled sometimes by one who is doing things intentionally to bring harm. So that's not to be denied. It's not to be looked at as if it doesn't take place, because that would be a detrimental, a crime on the person who pretend like it doesn't take place, you know, when it does. I've seen it happen, man. I've seen them, you know, jump out of cars. They got nicknames for it now. Jump out boys and all kind of stuff, you know. I'm talking about, man, listen, it's a lot going on, but thank God for those who are very intelligent and got, you know, some people that could step up and do things for them until they are able to do things for themselves. But there are just some people, man, just, you know, they're growing up and they're having a hard time. And so, you know, next thing you know, you set a trap and make it seem like it's something good, and they get caught up in it, when all the time there wasn't no good in it at all. And if, and this is what it is, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Okay, go ahead.
If it wasn't placed there, they never would have been able to go into the trap there. Because they didn't put it there. It wasn't like they were going to go outside and play cowboys and Indians and say, look, if we're going to have all of this right here, we're going to have things that's going to call us to get incarcerated. They didn't make that stuff up. So somebody put it there.
I see.
That's just the way it is.
Okay. I remember, Virginia, my mama had some little fat hands, and I never will forget when she handmade her biscuits, and they had that, we ate it with the maple syrup, man. You know, that makes you want to go back to your childhood when you don't have to. You know, that was innocent. You don't have to worry about nothing. You know what I mean? All you do is run, when you smell the biscuits, you just run in and go and just engulf yourself at the table. You can't do that no more, can you?
No, we can't do that anymore. And I, you know, one of the things that I think that is frustrating is that the system by design is making it. What's happening is you've got two set of people that are being taught now in the world, and I call it the people that teach you the front page, and then you've got the back page. Don't teach you the back page; they'll teach you the front page. So you got a group of people that got a lot of information, but don't understand why or how that information works.
So
now people that used to work on cars, I mean, they got it now where even if you know something about a car, if you don't have the tools or the technology, you can't work on the car. Or cell phones. You used to take cell phones apart and look at the little boards and look at all. And you can't do that anymore.
Wow.
The system is purposely creating civil. Okay, when we talk about the government, right? They don't even teach civics in school anymore for people to know how a government works. So by design, the system is making and keeping people ignorant, and it's just perpetuating itself. And it's not that people don't want to know, but the system is slowly introducing in things where if you don't have access to the knowledge through money or people, even if you have a desire to learn, you can't learn it.
That is interesting. That is, St. Louis. What do you think about that, man? That there is a unintended. That was my dissertation for my doctoral studies. My dissertation was based on the idea that there is a, whether it's by design or it's by default, a, just like education is a process for learning, there is a formal process for inhibiting people's forward progress and causing them not to learn and not to benefit from education attainment. What do you think about that, St. Louis?
I'd like for somebody to show me that process that's prohibiting people from learning.
Okay.
And nobody's been able to do it. Whose kids are those? You got a son. Whose son is that?
That's right. That's a good point. You're making a good point, sir. You make a good
Whose
point.
Whose school
there.
District is that? Well, you live in Nashville, right? Whose school
yes, sir.
District is that?
That's correct.
That's the people in Nashville.
You're making a great point. You're making a great
I've
point.
I've read to you countless times the state statute at large mm-hmm. in the state of Missouri says mm-hmm. that the curriculum, textbooks, and instruction material is whatever the local school district wants it to be.
I see. I see.
So
okay.
that's the people.
Yes.
It's your child, your choice. If you let somebody else, and actually ain't nobody else, and I hate to say it like this, blacks set those lines in the sand themselves that they won't cross. And they turn around, run back, and go to doing, participating in boogie nights, NFL, NBA, and so on, so on, so on.
Okay.
Not
okay.
all, but too many.
No, I hear what you're saying. I take your point. I have to agree with you that if you give up, if we throw our hands up and surrender, and I think that's what you're saying, by we draw these lines in the sand. And I called it to the ghetto land, St. Louis. And what the ghetto land is in function, the ghetto line is in function, is that point where we tell ourselves, I ain't going no further. It's almost like
a
classical conditioning, you know, of the mind.
Like it was, it used to be scared to go in the basement down the lights.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I took my children to St. Louis to down there in Mississippi at that water shore there. It's what is the name of that? It's right there off the water. It'll come back to me. And interestingly enough, historically, they didn't want the slaves to run away, so they prohibited them from going to the beach and to the water. Many of them never learned how to swim, right? And there was a long history there of how people refused, even after slavery was over with, and during even the civil rights era, many blacks refused to go to that beach simply because of the conditioning there, down there in that part of Mississippi.
Hell, you got the swimming pool and facilities in your city that blacks don't utilize. Vishon High School got Olympic-sized swimming pool. Students in Vishon, black, they don't use that pool.
True.
I mean, it's because they want to. Now, slaves, Africans that came from West Africa, they should have known how to swim. They live right there on the coastline of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched young boys taking nets out, and all you can see is their heads bobbing up and down in the water.
Okay.
So people,
now,
these folks put this stuff up there in front of them themselves. Then you got idiots out there trying to sell books that's telling these stories about codes. And I ain't calling nobody in particular. I'm just telling you some of the books I've seen, all this stuff that's on slanted history and so on, so on, so on. They do that just because they can make some money. And blacks take this up, a lot of them, and they run with it. And then when somebody challenges them on that, they want to call them all sorts of names and do. You set those limits. Now, here's the thing, too, you got to come to realize. Everybody ain't going to make it. And I don't understand why people don't realize that. It ain't that they don't realize it. They won't admit it in all areas where it should be. Because you know when you take your child out there for a football combine, and he don't make the team, it's because he didn't make it. He wasn't for it. Somebody was better than him. And that follows the tangent all across.
Interesting.
Some people are good for some things, some are good for others. Now, here's where the bad thing comes, is that you don't go through the process of self-evaluating your child to see what's in it abilities that they have.
Okay.
And you let them go on, and they, you know, why is it that you have an overabundance? Blacks are overrepresented in low-paying majors, low-paying college majors. Why is that?
Well, tracking is a big piece of it to directly answer your question. The system of tracking that was used in public education all across the country for a long time.
Well, it was, you know why tracking would do an evaluation on you to see what you was good at. Was you good in liberal arts? Would you get it in technical schools? Right. I went to a technical high school because I tested out to show that I had a mechanical aptitude. I didn't go to a liberal arts high school. So that's a good thing. Like I said before, you do it in football and basketball, in basketball camps, in football camps. You do it then. Why not do it when it comes down to general education?
Hmm. Okay. Well,
Dr. When he say that, I got a question to ask him. Well, Pence and Biden, same thing, right? Biden's Catholic and Pence is Catholic. So should
What's
they just
point,
track man? Folk if people that ain't Catholic?
Well, no, that's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. He's really talking about an individual's natural tendency toward a skill set, Don, and driving them in a direction where you develop that skill set. He was talking about engineering. Usually when you got good, strong math skills and logical processing skills, typically you're going to be in that track where you become an engineer or perhaps a doctor or a scientist or somebody like that. That's what he's talking about in that regard. And
but then, let's go back to it again. I ain't going to let you get by on it.
Okay.
Pence is still a Jesuit till this present day. Biden's a Democrat, and he's still Catholic till this day. You said they're tracking the children, right? And the children don't know who they are.
Well,
the parents don't know who they are.
Many of them. Many
but
of
the
them.
Enemy know who you is.
But, Don, guess what we should not do? We should not allow Biden or Pence or anybody to be the template that we're going to try to model ourselves out. That ain't gonna
I agree.
Help you. That ain't
I agree.
We, I mean,
hey, Doc.
Yes.
There's something that I want to say. I think that tracking people's natural abilities, I think that that has its place.
Okay.
But one of the things that makes education powerful is for persons that have the knowledge to be able to break that knowledge down and teach someone something that doesn't have a natural aptitude.
Okay.
And so in our culture, we were exposed more to agriculture and things like that. So you have some people, like I'm musically inclined, but there are some people that were not, that are less musically inclined than I am that have gone off to be concert pianists.
Right.
So what
right.
I'm saying is that we're living in a time now where STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, and all of that is very, very important. It is something that can be taught. There are certain things that will help you develop a certain part of your brain or thinking or analytical things that can be taught. And
sure.
So we typically in our culture, we just don't introduce our children to those particular things because it's not in our culture to do. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's not, we lean toward the arts in our culture, whereas you got some, certain cultures that lean toward the sciences, but you've got a lot of kids that have very great aptitudes, but they're not being challenged, nor are they being put
That's
in those cohorts
to
develop that.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Well, you know, that's a great point that you're making. I taught special ed, and I had some high schoolers who were, even though they were on the junior level, they were operating or functionally on a fifth and sixth grade level with math and many of their math skills. And, you know, I said to them, look, man, y'all going to learn it here. I ain't going to make no excuses for you. You understand what I'm saying? I know you're behind, but we just want to work on getting you caught up. And make a long story short, Don, I went and bought me some big dice and a whole lot of things that I know appeal to them, to their psyche. And we rolled dice in the class after we did some math. You understand what I'm saying, Don?
Mm-hmm. But they got the lab done, and we were able to grade them on it. We were able to grade them on it and see how well they grew. I'm just saying to your point, that's you have to find a creative way to reach them. Go ahead, Samuel.
Every child in America, I don't know about everybody, place else, they should be exposed to several things. One, they should be exposed to magnetism with magnets. They should be exposed to electricity. They should be exposed to chemistry. They should be exposed to biology. And maybe a couple, and they should be exposed to mechanics, leverage. A good example is a seesaw. Wonder why come when your big fat sister sit on the other end, you go up in the air. That needs to be something that they should be taught why that's happening like that.
That's a good thing, Louis.
And you see it played out. If you had more young people taught about biology, they wouldn't be running wild today the way it is being ran with this pandemic and COVID. You would have learned in school what you're facing. And you wouldn't be prey to all of these different suggestions, which evolves into mandates, locking you. You wouldn't be exposed to that. You would, and see, when I say you wouldn't be exposed to it, you wouldn't be fooled and feared the way you see people are being feared into doing things they wouldn't want to do.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Before I forget it, that was Biloxi, Mississippi, that I was thinking of, down there off the Gulf Coast there. That's where the little beach was there. But that's some interesting stuff now, guys. Y'all are laying down some interesting stuff here. Let me just take a break here, announcement break here. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Our co-host, Pastor Rick Wall, is on with, and we got our friend out of Virginia, Richmond, Virginia, Selma, Alabama, Peoria, Illinois, as well as St. Louis, Missouri. And Peoria, I just learned that not too long ago, I knew that, but it just came back. I was looking at a documentary on Richard Pryor, that he grew up in Peoria, Illinois, poor.
Yeah, his grandma took care of him, and they lived around the corner from us.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, sir, and I remember being a child, we heard Richard Pryor was in town. So we ran around the corner to the grandma's house. Turned out Red Fox was in there, too. It's supposed to be not told, but, you know, I'm preaching with Mr. Talk, so we found out his kids.
Oh, man.
It was a part of my history, so.
Okay. Well, interesting. Interesting brother, though, Richard Pryor was, when you look at his story. But that's not our conversation tonight. But we have been talking about Frederick Douglass, the father of the Negro vote in America. Now, I know that don't sound right to some people, say he was the father. But in reality, he was the first one to advance the concept that we call today civil rights. He pushed Abraham Lincoln. He said, look here, man, if you want to win this war, put the brothers in the fight. Huh? You want to win, put the brothers in. And when they put the 54th Massachusetts in, Don, it was on like Donkey Kong and a bag of neck bone. Huh? Look.
You said a bag of neck bone. I like neck bone.
All right. I'm going to leave you alone, 12, because you be tripping, man. You be okay. No, but I said that laughingly to say that Douglass understood, that St. Louis pointed out, that Tubman and Douglass, they understood that we can swing, but the race isn't given to the, nor the battle to the strong, but to them that can endure to the end. He knew that this was a long game. And here we are in 2022, and I fear that too many of my people are still not learning from that experience that transpired 100-some years ago. I fear that we're not benefiting from the influence, sacrifice, and the things that are laid down. And that's in part why we're talking about these things. I was going to allude to what Virginia was saying about learning and what have you. Du Bois is considered to be a classical theorist in education, largely because he came up with a construct for teaching poor folk who lacked a drive and a desire for learning. That's interesting. And you can see that in his book, Souls of Black Folk. That's one of his many works there, that he the constructs that he laid down. But what I find interesting today, guys, is that there is a unique challenge and opportunity that Pastor Waller, many people would say it's somebody else's fault that we're not taking advantage of it. And I would just caution us to, again, not to draw that line in the sand and say, I ain't going to do that. How you know you ain't going to do it? How you know you ain't going to do it? My children used to say that all the time, 12. I ain't going to, no, don't say you ain't going to do it now. Say you would like to do it. That's better. Yeah. You going to do what I tell you. Or you understand what I'm saying? Or feel the thunder. You understand what I'm saying? But
up under your roof, brother.
You understand what I'm saying? That dog ain't going to hunt you. Tell me what you ain't going to do. Go ahead, Don. What do you say?
You said you were down in Biloxi, and I got some questions to ask you. Because, you know, the Biloxi, sure. Mississippi bunch was in on the assassination of Dr. King, along with the New Orleans bunch. And I know I just got a question. The question I got to ask you about Biloxi, how much history do they have tied in with the Spanish in that city, in that area down there?
Well, Harrison County is where Biloxi is, its county seat is. And my understanding is because they're right off the Gulf Coast, Don, they share a lot of very, very powerful history that's tangentially related to Florida and some of the other little cities, Alabama. You know, you have Mobile that's right off the Gulf Coast there as well.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, New Orleans, when it floods, they all hit it. I'm just going to say, Don, that that was a major trade route, and Biloxi became a significant port for commerce and trade historically. So I'll leave it right there without you know, going into much more detail.
All right.
Interesting place, though. What I was bringing in, Don, is how African Americans down there, how in many ways they did not take advantage of the wealth of opportunities because they drew that land in the sand. I'm going to use St. Louis phrase. They drew that land in the sand. And to their detriment, you know, historically, I think it's getting better now, but to the detriment.
You know,
go ahead.
It's people that makes changes.
Okay.
Not no groups, not no whole stadium. It's individuals that make changes.
Wow.
If you, like I told you before, last week, see, we have been made to believe, and a lot of it's spent on demonizing white folks.
Okay.
And really, whites don't say nothing about it. You know why?
Why?
Because they know it ain't true. They say if they believe it, if they believe it, leave them alone.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, just like you was taught, like we was taught about the desegregation of public schools in 1954. Well, that's just not true. The NAACP hijacked that because public schools were desegregated back in 1869, thereabouts, in Omaha, Nebraska. Brown versus who? Brown versus Topeka, Kansas. Well, Omaha is a city, and they done away with segregated schools. So that's why you have to teach people, children, the entire story, not just bits and pieces that serve your agenda, your selfish agenda at that. Then when you do that, they are then able to analytically and logically think about what it is that they're learning about, because it all has a purpose. In many cases, people done what they done so that you couldn't compete. What else would they do it for? They don't want you competing.
Can I say something?
I mean, Nigerians ain't going to teach your kids how to take power from their kids. They're not going to do it.
And they shouldn't, as they shouldn't. But may I say this, St. Louis? Often,
yes, sir.
And I think you know this, often it's natural for us to find a local hero in our community, our neighborhood, right, historically. And it could be only within our generation that these people are heroes.
There's a guy here in Nashville. He's deceased now. They called him Jefferson Street Joe.
Joe Gilliam.
Joe Gilliam. Say, now, I don't know how true this is, St. Louis, but TSU is about probably 20 blocks away from 8th Avenue. They say he was a bad quarterback, and he had an arm on him so strong, man, that he can throw the football from TSU all the way to 8th Avenue. But I said that to say there are folklores and you know, local heroes that people would like to gravitate to because they can relate to that in you. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm sure you know that Thurgood Marshall litigated that case with Brown versus Board of Peak, Kansas, and that it went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and it established a Supreme Court precedent. I'm sure you're aware of that. Now, we could look at Dred Scott, we can look at Plessy versus Ferguson, we can look at other landmark cases and what have you, and draw the conclusions. But in general, would you agree, St. Louis, that in general, these things have had a major impact on the how people socialize, how they interact, you know what I mean? Even how dollars have been spent in public education historically. Would you agree with that, at least?
Well, who was against? Well, yeah, you can say that. But the thing is, when you don't tell all the story, for instance, who else was against Brown versus Board of Education? Who was against that court decision? Eaton, Florida.
When you say who?
You ever heard of Eaton, Florida?
I have heard of Eaton, Florida, yes.
That was a black town, and a lady by the name of Hurston. I don't know what her first name is. Get it messed up.
That's okay.
He talks about how that was a terrible decision.
Okay.
She talked about the schools. You know, some of the most elite blacks in the country around that time was coming out of North Carolina, and I can't think of the town.
Okay.
And they had schools that they all went to, I think it was called Hillside and Wilkinson. And those schools became integrated. Thus, they claim, was the downfall of them.
I see.
So they was against Brown versus the board. Guess who else was against Brown versus the board in modern times? Well, many of your black organizations, the National Society of Black National Black United Front, they wanted African-centered schools.
Okay.
Council of Independent Black Institution wanted schools just for blacks.
Got it.
Look at your historical black colleges and university. Look at Lincoln. That was for black. So they wanted segregated schools. And even today, when you go, your schools today are more segregated than they ever have been before. But it's de facto segregation. It's by what the people want rather than what government tries to tell them. That's one of the things that the Honorable Clarence Thomas said in a court case called Jenkins versus Missouri. He said the government has no business forcing people to go to school with each other. That should be left up to them.
Okay. Well, and I take your point, and I would agree with you that there were people who, in fact, when King was in the Birmingham jail, he talked about how there were people who felt like he was raising up, he was stirring up stuff, and they wanted him to be quiet. Don't come down there. You know what I'm saying? So I get what you're saying. There are people against a lot of these historical efforts and events. However, it does not change the fact that there were a great many, and to this day, who believe that it had a pivotal role in the advancements that many people benefit from in 2022.
Mr. Dockery.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, you remember I took you down to Biloxi, Mississippi. And don't forget you in the 5th Congressional. Let me hit you with this. I told you in Dallas County on my dad's side, I came from the King Plantation, and they got some spies right here. Now, you know you from Chicago, and I'm from Montgomery Bell's Plantation now.
Okay.
I'm looking at you. Now, your guy right there just brought up a good point. Hold on.
Okay.
I want you to listen to this. This is Gerald Mandarin's name after Eldridge Gerald. Listen to this.
Okay.
1770, Jerry, number numbered among the wealthiest Massachusetts merchants with trading connections in Spain. Mm-hmm. Hello? Hello? Okay. So you don't want the case on the floor because you want to keep playing. Look, Mr. Dockery, I'm not going to let your boy Cooper go. Hey, KKK, Scottish right
guy. How did he get to be my boy, Don? How did he become
Oh, Mr. Dog, ain't you up there? I came home last year. Listen to this. I got a young man. We getting ready to come up there. How
we're
did they
gonna...
build all them houses up there?
I got you. I take your point, Don.
Come on now. We were in the present, like he said. The enemy not going to teach you how to get free. He just said it.
Well, that's true, Don. That's true. Now, Don. It's interesting you're talking about some of those factors because you are aware that the Supreme Court of the land has in fact said that with their decision, basically, they hands off on this fight about gerrymandering. They left that to the state.
I know
the
hell. You done stole all the doggone money. I know your hands is off of it. I'm from Middle Tennessee. And when I came home and seen all them good old boys build them houses, why am I?
Okay, hold on.
Ask them, why am I?
I don't know.
No, you don't want to answer that. You don't have nothing to do with that. And then tell the Supreme Court, all these little ones you got down here, they wasn't down here in 65.
Done.
They know damn well Hank Sanders and Rose wasn't here.
Okay,
come on now.
Come on back with me.
Well, we're talking about present day, Mr. Doc. And then, Mr. Doc, I'm going to hit you with this. I'm going to hit you hard. What the hell was Jesse doing down the 50th anniversary to Dr. King's assassination?
I don't know.
Hello?
I don't control Jesse.
Oh, right there in Memphis now. I'm looking at you. You brought all your guys that what was Mr. Dockery involved in Caligula. I'm looking right there at you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to leave you and Jesse to yourselves.
I know I am, because this year, guess what I'm going to tell all of you? Don't come to Selma. I ain't my daddy.
All right.
I'm not Reverend Bevel now.
All right, big brother. All right, Don.
I'm looking right. When you think I ain't looking,
ain't you
Stockley,
got a relative up in Chicago, Bevel, a lady?
Oh, yeah. Look at got my sister and them up there all agreeing with the homosexual.
What's her name?
I'm looking at her. I'm looking right there. Sherry Douglas and Diane Nash.
Let's see. What's that lady?
I got my eyes on them, Doc. Let me tell you why I got my eyes on them. I did something in 87, but you tipped on over and put your hand in the cookie jar. Come on back over here,
Don.
I'm waiting on
Don,
you.
I got 12
minutes.
Come on,
Mr. Doctor. Talk to me now.
I got 12 minutes. And what I want to do is I want to wrap our conversation up for tonight relative to President being the father of the Negro vote in America.
And don't forget, my dad got the right to vote ideal from him.
That's good.
And guess what, Mr. Doctor? And we want to be clear at this present day, it's happening right now. Why do they want all the wealth and they don't want nobody else to have wealth?
Don, let me have the flow. Let me have the flow, bro.
Go ahead. You got it, Mr. Doctor.
I subscribe to Douglasonian principles myself. So I hope that others will be able to draw from this conversation. You guys brought some good stuff on the floor, great stuff on the floor. But let me do this, Don. Let me roll out and let me give everybody an opportunity for a final thought. And then we
go ahead. Go ahead, Mr. Doctor.
Move from there. All right. I appreciate that. What about it, 12? You wanna start first for us there?
Yes, please. Thank you. I just want to conclude by saying that I feel blessed that I was able to get on here tonight.
Glad to hear from you.
And hear you guys.
Yeah, you've been missed. I know that.
And you guys have been missed as well. So it's been a challenge for me to stay off somewhat, but I did it for my own.
Okay.
God bless everyone. Let's all try to stay as safe as we can. And hopefully the children will be okay.
All right. They're going to be all right. We're going to see to it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Well, mi casa es su casa. My house is your house. Anytime.
All right.
And I'll leave the light on for you.
All right. I'll keep a light on.
All right. Well, thank you. What about it, Virginia? Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We appreciate you there. Final thought there?
Yeah, I'm just appreciative of this format. And I think that as long as we challenge the mindset that black people are not broken, there's nothing wrong with us, and work and work from a more self-determined model versus the deficit model, I think that we can get anything done.
Yes, ma'am. I concur 100%. And I extend to you as well. Mi casa es tu casa, anytime. Make yourself at home. Make yourself at home. All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. And look forward to further conversation later. All right. Don, what about it, big brother?
Oh, Mr. Dockery, I'm tired of stealing. I'm 62 years old. And Mr. Okay. Dockery, got one down here, think he's slick. I'm sitting back looking right dead at you, Doc. You know what, Mr. Dockery? You don't want to do nothing for the children. All you want to do is steal grant money. Tell the Supreme Court that's what they want to do. They don't want to educate the children. They want to steal grant money.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll look at that too, big brother. Let's see. I don't know what I can do, but we'll keep praying, man, pushing, chopping at it. All right. We appreciate you, Don. Appreciate you joining us. St. Louis, give us a final thought. Right?
Well, you know, you're on the issue of voting. The 1965 Voters' Rights Act didn't have anything to do with voting. It had to do about registration. And it's talking about blacks in particular. Well, blacks have been able to vote by the Constitution, by the 15th and 19th Amendment. Matter of fact, black males had the right to vote before white females had.
True.
But that act had a compromise that went between the states that was affected and also the Department of Justice and the D.C. Court. And it covers certain states like Alabama, Alaska, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, South Carolina, Virginia, Arizona even, Hawaii, Idaho, North Carolina. It had partial coverage in states like Maine, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New York, and Wyoming. It had some special provisions that went to even Alaska Natives and Spanish and Hawaiian Unorns. Now, here's the thing. Basically what it did, and it made this determination over 40 years ago, I guess that would have been 65, that because these states had a history of keeping blacks from voting, for instance, with all kind of crazy things like counting bubbles in a bar of soap and stuff, that if you wanted to change any patterns that affected voting in those areas, they would have to get pre-clearance through the Department of Justice and the D.C. Court. Gotcha. Well, the Roberts Court in 2005 done away with that section, which is 4B of the Voters' Rights Act, and he said, which I agree with, and it was a case called Shelby County versus Holder. Okay. And it held that the Voters' Rights Act of 1965 was unconstitutional because the formula used to determine coverage was based on data that was 40 years old. It was no longer representative of current needs. And we know that because many of these areas are majority black, have black elected officials, and if blacks are discriminating against themselves, well, I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. You put a lot on the table. But look, we thank you, man. We thank you. And I hope that was useful information relative to voting, because that's our topic tonight. Appreciate that. Okay. Well, we've been talking from the conversation. Frederick Douglass, as the father of the Negro vote in America, his contribution to where we are today. My hope is that as we move forward, every opportunity you get, I can't tell you exactly how that's going to be, but use that opportunity to impart this wisdom and inform some young person on how vital this is for them to know. You have to do that on an age-appropriate level so they can understand it and digest it. But I believe that's what we could do, and that's what we should do. Churches, social organizations, institutions, the whole nine yards. That's what's going to help our babies. All right, but having said that, we appreciate you. Next Tuesday, we're going to be spotlighting the works of William Edward Burghardt Du Bois and talking about the many things and contributions he made to the Afro-American or African-American subculture and how it has shaped where we come from and where we are today.
Young folk don't even know who Du Bois is. Hardly know who Carter G. Woodson or Douglas is. We're going to educate them. So next Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, join us with that. But having said that, Pastor Waller, my road dog.
Hey, man.
Shotgun. We're going to turn the floor over to you for a final word there, sir, as we wrap up our conversation tonight.
All right, Pastor Doctor. You know, I was just sitting in here in meditation, man, thinking about God himself said, you know, the scripture talks about how God realized that he's not the author of confusion, man.
Mm-hmm.
And, so much confusion going on in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand a little bit more now, you know, why he said in his word, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth.
Mm.
And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So how many shapes and forms does evil come in? But it's continually. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, a person's motives could always be evil, man. You know what I mean? But sounds like it's not. And so that's the thing. You know, where it says you're pretending to be something that you're not, you deceive yourself. So I wind down with this, and I'm getting ready to turn it back over to you, but I can't help but to say, man, no wonder. You know, God even said it, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Man, that, you know, to me, it grieved him at his heart. So we got to do something like what you're doing to reach out to please God. You know, the scripture says, without it's impossible to please God. So keep doing what you're doing, and I'm sure that God will be pleased with you, man, because he said he repented him.
That
so
he made
you feel bad. It grieved him.
That was rough.
Somebody got to keep hope alive. So keep doing what you're doing. I yield all back to you on that note.
All right. Well, we thank you, sir. We appreciate that, and we look forward to seeing you all, our listening audience, on Talk Straight for another episode on next Tuesday, February 15th, for another episode of Talk Straight here as we meet you back. And we'll see you then. Thank you.